Thank you so much, Greg. I am thrilled to be backstage with Principal Harper, the Philadelphia Orchestra, Elizabeth Hanen. Wow, what a bravura performance. It was so amazing.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I'm really excited I get a chance to play it here.
Why has it been performed so little?
I think it does require a lot of virtuosity. It's a very demanding piece. And I think it's always difficult to gain the momentum of a harp concerto. You know, you try to match yourself to a violin or piano soloist, and they have such vast repertoire. So I think it's just not thought of as often. I think that's part of it.
One thing I was surprised by from the audience standpoint was seeing two harps on stage. Could you explain that a little bit?
Well, obviously, Hinostera did not write it for two different harps. He wrote it for the concert grand acoustical harp. And the concert grand acoustical harp is relatively about 6 feet high and weighs about 90 pounds and has 47 strings. When you have a full symphony orchestra behind you at full tilt, that instrument doesn't stand much of a chance. And the third movement of the Hinostera harp concerto is very thickly scored. So you have some big challenges with the piece. And over the years, that's one of the criticisms of the work. And people will say, well, I really couldn't hear the harp in the third movement. It wasn't until I had some performances with the Dance Theater of Harlem, and they had choreographed the concerto, and we had an electric acoustical harp for those performances, and I had to play in the pit. So I was a good deal away from the dancers, and they needed amplification. So once I did it that way, and I realized how successful it is done this way, I thought, well, maybe I'll just try using this amplified harp on just the third movement, which is, you know, more of the challenge hearing it. And the harps that Lyon and Healy is making now, this electric acoustical instrument, is just a far cry from the prototypes from earlier years. And it's a regular harp, and they put a pickup on every string. So it's very sensitive for the whole range of the instrument, and it doesn't change the sound of the instrument. It still sounds like a harp, but kind of like a big harp.
What do you think is the most striking feature about this concerto from the harpist's standpoint?
Well, Alberto Hinostera had, like you said, a great imagination and for color and, of course, rhythm. And he uses his roots, his Argentinian roots, throughout the music. You can hear these dance-like rhythms and tunes. But I think he wrote so orchestrally for the instrument so that there are a lot of these moving note patterns that are very stimulating on the instrument. And then later on, he writes these gorgeous open note for example, the cadenza, the beginning of the cadenza is supposed to sound just like a simple guitar when you're plucking out those notes. So he allows the instrument just to speak rather than mess around too much with it. And he really knew the instrument extremely well. And I feel there's never been a tour de force concerto for harp written to this extreme since this piece was written.
Edna Phillips, who was principal harp of the Philadelphia Orchestra and its first female musician in the 1930s and 40s, commissioned this work. She lived into her 90s. Did you ever meet Miss Phillips?
I had the great pleasure of meeting her two times. I went to her home out at Cathedral Village, and she was in her late 90s at that point. She was very embracing, and she told some great stories, so it was wonderful to hear some of her experiences. And we did talk about the Hinostera on one of those two visits. She basically said, I was getting close to retirement, and it just seemed like an awful lot of work. But she loved the piece. She was a champion of the piece. She just felt, given time restraints and, you know, just the challenge of the piece itself, that Nicanor Zabaleta, famous Spanish harpist at the time, should premiere it. With that said, she not only commissioned this piece, but she and her husband were responsible for commissioning over 20 major harp works. This was probably her most famous and the one that we know the best today.
And you're continuing Edna Phillips' legacy of commissioning work through your Lyra Society. Could you tell us about that?
Well, after meeting her and realizing she was the one who commissioned this piece, I was really impressed. And I thought, well, it takes an individual to really spearhead these things. And I felt, yes, I had an obligation to sort of fulfill that legacy here in the orchestra. And we are now in our, I want to say, 14th year. We named this particular competition for composers after Marilyn Costello, because she was also responsible for bringing some new works to light. Each year, we are discovering more and more talent, or I think we're, you know, gaining momentum, and we're getting more and more pieces. Actually, right now, we just received 29 submissions for this year's composers competition. So I'm sure we're going to get a good piece out of it.
What is the key to being a good commissioner of new work?
I think you have to educate them with the instrument. I definitely make sure my students work with our student composers at Curtis and Temple and play for them and show them a variety of music and the different effects, the extended effects, and just how the instrument works. And so you have to really encourage them so they don't shy away from it because of some of the special challenges of the instrument.
Well, I am sure that one day you'll come out with another piece on the level of the Gina Stirra Concerto with your mission to bring new work for the harp to the world. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. It was wonderful speaking with you as always, and congratulations on a great performance.
Thank you, Deborah. It's my pleasure.